our sermons. Often it's given to us a special thought, an idea, and God works, and we study and we read. And the sermon title that I have for today is something that I have had said to me many times. More often than not, I remember my older son, Marcus, when he was a little boy, I would tell him something, and he would say to me, "How do you know?" Interesting question, isn't it? How do you know? And sometimes I would have to say, take a long time to think about that. How do I know? What authority do I have? Where did I get my information from? Well, our scripture today was Romans 16 and 17. And if you would turn there again with me, let's just look at that again. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. And it reads thus, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, only you know why you will have me say these words today, who they are intended for, and the purpose. But we pray your will be done in each life here today, and may your word find a lodging place in our hearts, that we might obey it. For to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Let it be so, Lord Jesus. Amen. How do you know? And you've encountered them. Often you've seen them on street corners or in parks, and they're handing out tracts, literature. And many a time when they approach someone or even you, they will ask you, "Are you saved?" How do you respond? What do you say to someone who asks you, "Are you saved?" Well, how you respond will give them an opening as how they will come back to you with an answer. And when still in high school, a fellow student asked me that question. Now, I had never been asked that question before. Think about that. I'd got all the way up to high school and nobody had ever asked me if I was saved or not. So I thought about it and I said to him, "I think so, I hope so." And he told me that thinking so and hoping so was just not enough. "You need to know so," he said. I said, "We won't know until we get to heaven." A lot of people think that we are going through whatever we're going through down here, and then we, you know, it's a crapshoot. You'll find out when you get there just how you made out. Think about that. How would you like to wait all your life just to find out whether you made it to heaven or not? That's a scary proposition. He said to me, "You can know for sure right now if you repent and ask Jesus to forgive you. He promised he would forgive you, so believe what he said." Now, believing what God says is called faith. Yes, it is. Faith is trust. When you can do that, you can say with confidence, "I am saved." Now, God does not coerce us. He does not force us. He's given that job to people like me. I have no such restrictions on my life. God does not force anyone, but He has sent His people, His disciples, His children, out into the world to try to persuade and convince men that they need a Savior, that they need to be saved. But still, the choice, no matter how much effort we put forth, and this is why the church exists, to teach and preach Christ to the world, to all our neighbors and friends and enemies, all about the salvation that God has provided for us on the cross, it is our duty, it is our privilege, it is our reason to be to tell folks about the way of salvation and try all we can to convince them. But the choice is still theirs. Now, do you ever struggle with the assurance of your salvation? Do you have times when you truly question whether or not you are saved? Or even if you can be saved? Well, are you living a lifestyle that denies your profession of faith? Maybe you question the way you live. I often do. I often say, am I the biggest hypocrite that ever walked the face of the earth? What am I doing? How am I thinking these thoughts? Why am I behaving in this way? I got to stop and shake myself sometimes and say, no, no, no. Don't get caught up in the spirit of the age. Have you ever made a profession of faith? There is a song that says, I'd rather be on the inside looking out than to be on the outside looking in. That's a good old song. Are you on the outside looking in? Have you been around Christianity long enough? You know what goes on. You're looking in. You say, that's pretty nice. But you stay on the outside and you look in on it. Are you a spectator or are you playing the game? Are you on the bench or are you on the field? Those that are on the bench don't get to play. Are you sitting on the fence? Now that's sometimes a ticklish situation, sitting on the fence, especially if it's a picket one. If you are on the fence, you are out. There is no such thing as almost saved. No such thing as almost saved. Jesus is not calling for volunteers or spectators or fence sitters. He wants commitments. He does. Now, our human condition, many people do not believe they need to repent because they think that they are good enough. Especially when they compare themselves with other people. Now that's a serious mistake. Who are you comparing yourself with? Another sinner. Oh, sure, you might be good looking and well dressed and you behave yourself according to the law, because if you ever did anything illegal, you'd be put into jail, so you watch how you live. Some people, the fear of punishment, all that keeps them in line. But Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned, that says all, not just some, not just the good ones or the bad ones or the in-between ones. All have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, some people don't feel that they need saving. They think they can do just fine without any help. People who are seriously ill don't always feel sick. But that still doesn't cure them. They're still sick. And if they don't get help, they may die. Now, sin is a serious disease. It is. And it's a serious disease that is common to all mankind. Every one of us has that disease. And untreated, it will lead to second death. Eternal oblivion. Going out of existence forever. But in as much as all of us die, what difference does it make? Why treat it at all? That's what some will say. Because, get this, it is the second death that we are trying to avoid. If you die to yourself now, you will not have to die the second time. That's the one. The Bible says something about
who to fear.
Don't fear him who kills the body, and that's all they can do, but fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell fire. That's whom ye shall fear. Satan and his angels will be destroyed forever, and any of mankind that dies in sin will be destroyed with them. And that goes for fence sitters. Those that are sitting on the fence are still out. No, almost saved. No such thing. Now, here's a marvelous thing. I want you to hear this. God created the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he created all the creatures and all the plants and mankind. He did it in how many days? 6 days. But it just took moments on one day in the Garden of Eden to infect all mankind and the whole world with sin. Just took moments. God created it all in 6 days and did a marvelous job. And we, through our ancestors, through Adam, through Eve, we infected ourselves with sin. And it infected the whole world. The whole world was turned inside out because of sin. Animals began to eat other animals. Murder began. The first man that was ever born, the first little boy, killed his brother. Thorns and thistles began to grow. And it became through the sweat and the labor that we even grow crops and that we make a living. We do all this by the sweat of our brow, and then we die. Now, the world does not understand the state that it is in. They do not understand. Some of us, very few of us, do understand. The world as a whole does not wish to know. They don't want to know. The sin of apathy, for it is a sin, and that's not caring at all, and the sin of ignorance, and it is a sin when connected to apathy, are prevalent in our society today. They don't want to know, and they do not care. Ignorance and apathy have affected the church too. We need to shake ourselves out of it. It's so easy not to care and not to want to know and just stay in our little circle and don't look outside. Like Lot, just get yourself into your little cave and hide from the world. That's not what God intended us to do. You need to know. What do you need to know? Whether you're saved or not. You need to care. You need to care. We all do. If we don't, we are lost too. You see, if we don't care, then we're not doing what Christ wants us to do. We don't have the Spirit of Christ, and without the Spirit of Christ, you are lost. Because Christ cared. Christ got involved. He came and he immersed himself in our problems and our sin, and he died so that we would not have to die the second time. To take away our sins. To wash us, to reconcile us to God, to make us new creatures. Are you saved? Yes or no? There's no other answer. It is one or the other. Now, by saved, what do I mean? I mean heaven ready. I mean Jesus ready. When Jesus comes, will he save you from death, raise you to life? If you are already dead, or will you die and be forever lost? Those are your choices. I know which one I want to choose. You have a choice right now, today. If you haven't repented of your sins and asked Jesus to forgive you, well, what's stopping you? What is actually stopping you from doing that? Why don't you? Right now and right here, do it. But everyone is looking. I'll be embarrassed. Well, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me on this earth before men, I will be ashamed of you before the angels in heaven. A little bit embarrassed would you be? How about a great deal of sin being lifted off your life? How about great relief? How about knowing for sure and certain that should Jesus come or should you die, you would be ready to meet Him? Heaven ready. Jesus ready. Now Jesus gave His life for you. He died on the cross for you and me. He suffered, bled, and died a horrible death for us. And all He wants is our love and our loyalty. Is that too much to ask? Can we not even give Him that? What more could He do? Oh, how much we owe Him. He gave us all things. We rebelled and forsook Him. But He forgave us and He paid our penalty for us. Our wages, our debt has all been paid. The door is now open. Now some people say you don't have to do anything to be saved. You do too. There's an open door. You at least got to go through the door. And what do you think repent means? Do nothing? He said, you know, oh, Jesus paid it all. I don't have to do a thing. You have to repent. Clearly says in the Bible, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. There is something for you to do. Change your attitude. See, I don't have to do anything is that attitude of apathy. And that means I don't care what Jesus did. I don't care that Jesus died for me, that He suffered that horrible death for me. I don't care. Doesn't mean anything to me. But if it means the slightest little bit to you that what He has done for you has provided salvation so that you do not have to be in doubt, and how do you know whether you're saved or not? If you receive Christ as your Savior, then you will repent of your sins. And you'll do it right now. You'll do it today. All we need to do is go through that open door. We owe Him our lives. He has redeemed us from the penalty of sin. Yes, He has. But have you received that redemption? Have you repented? Well, thank you, Jesus. Yes, I have. I say yes. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I am yours. I am saved. How do I know? How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. The Scriptures say that when you receive Christ, anyone that is in Christ is a new creature. And they are passed from death unto life. If the Bible says it, and I trust the Lord, and I have faith that the Word is true, then I can say, prophetically, I am saved. Now, I am not in heaven today, but I just as well might be. It's just the same thing now as if I was already in heaven. I'm living like I'm in heaven right now. When we are in this place, we are in the embassy of heaven. We are His ambassadors. We are His representatives on earth. This is a meeting of God's children on earth on the Sabbath day, honoring our Creator and getting ourselves heaven ready for His soon appearing. I'm saved. Are you? Well, no. Anybody say no? Would you like to be? Who would like to be saved? And who didn't raise their hand? Well, I don't know. Let us all bow our heads. And if you will now accept Jesus and repent of your sins, then I want you to come forward and make your confession of faith publicly. This is the only way that you can be a Christian. When you make a public stand right in front of everyone. Publicly. Now I'll wait a few minutes as you make up your mind. And those of you that have not made up your mind, or have made up your mind, shall I say, pray for those that haven't made up their mind. I'll wait a few minutes. And I want you to come if you would like to know right now that you are saved. And we'll pray with you, and the rest of us will unite our hearts in prayer, and I will lead. Now come now. This is a good time to shake off apathy and to rededicate ourselves. Anybody that feels like they've neglected their salvation a little bit, that they've slid away a little, that they've lost their first love. If you'd like to rededicate yourself, we will come and pray with you too. You come, and I'll wait a few more minutes for someone to come, and then we'll all stand and pray. Lord Jesus, may you work upon the hearts of the people today that those that are not ready would at this particular moment come and stand and declare themselves finally on the Lord's side. For this is the way that you would have us to do it. Oh Father, we pray for those who have loved you and have been dedicated to you and faithful to you all these years and are making a rededication. Oh Lord, whatever it is, whatever condition of heart, whoever is being talked to at this time, would you have them decide for you, receive you as Lord and as Savior just now, and receive your blood washing. In Jesus' name, amen.